talk, go, talk now.
That's the first thing that's going to be on the recording now.
Yeah. That has to be like one of the blooper reels, or I don't, can you even do like podcast bloopers? Do they have those? Have you been like secretly editing stuff for like the end of the year?
I haven't. All of this, all of the dumb stuff that we say in the show, I keep in the show. I don't edit out that stuff.
That is pretty much true.
I edit out all of the moments where we're particularly eloquent or make really good points. I leave in all the dumb stuff.
Oh, good.
It's like, how dare we sound too smart?
Well, Josh, I'm going to need you to put that burrito down right now because you know what time it is?
Huh.
It's time for Yondercast. Welcome to the show, everybody. This week, we're recording a quick special episode about the recently concluded first season of the successful Disney Plus series, WandaVision. My name is Ian Lake, and I'm joined this week by a true sentient weapon, Patrick Leach.
Wow, that's very nice of you. Thank you.
And I'm also joined by a robot who clearly has gum in his gears, Josh Baltzell.
Not where perfect. I expected that to go.
No.
Those were both references, by the way. Mm-hmm. I don't know who's listening, but...
We were, and that was pretty good.
So we're doing something special. We're kind of... We're not really doing, like, the standard structure here. We're not going to banter, and we're not going to talk about science. We're really just going to record a quick episode because we all watched WandaVision, and we all wanted to talk about it, and we all felt like we had maybe something entertaining to say. So I kind of like to do this the same way that we did our Outer Banks episode, which is that I want to start with our ratings. I'm going to ask you guys to write down, commit on a piece of paper, what do you rate WandaVision as a whole? Season one of WandaVision. And this is a scale of 1 to 10, and you can go into the 10th place decimal.
I'm really anxious this time around because I got so much hate for our Outer Banks episode. I still have students approaching me being like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I'm sorry.
That is forever your legacy. The harshest critic.
Well, you are the villain. Josh, you cast Gladly. Yourself as the villain as well all the time. Are you guys ready?
I am.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What's your rating of WandaVision?
I'm giving it an 8.2. I'm going to give it an 8.2.
Okay. Josh, what's your rating of WandaVision?
Wow, now I'm the easy grader because I gave it a 9.2.
A 9.2. Wow. Well, I'm gonna activate my email filters because I'm giving it an 8.0.
Okay.
Interesting.
So should we like summarize the show for our listeners really quick? Actually, I feel like probably only the people listening to this show are going to be people who have watched this series. In fact, I would recommend that anyone who hasn't watched the series and is thinking about it, probably go watch it and then come back and listen to the episode. Because after this point right now, I'm giving us free reins to talk about spoilers. I don't think that we can really dissect the show, especially this show, without talking about spoilers. Because there are spoilers like from episode one, halfway through episode one. So I want to know what you guys liked about it, because those are all pretty high ratings, and you guys both rated it higher than me. So let's start with you, Patrick. What did you like about the show?
To me, it felt really well produced, and that was kind of the thing that caught me from the beginning, is how much like of the like the CGI and special effects were put into that for something that seemed like just like a short series. Like, I don't know if they're taking this any further. I haven't read too much, and if there's going to be like a season two. I think it's, from what I read, kind of a standalone type thing and kind of like a jumping point for a lot of other maybe series or parallels or connections. But I mean, the production value alone was really, really good. And the thing that caught me right away was just the different styles of those different decades, different years. I just thought that was a very interesting and unique perspective to bring to a television show, because a lot of the times we were sitting there watching it trying to guess like, ooh, I wonder what this show is trying to mimic, like what from what decade. So to me, what I really liked was it got me thinking outside of the actual show. And full disclosure, like, I'm definitely like a huge noob when it comes to the MCU. Like, I haven't watched any of these. Yeah, I know. This is bad. Like, I'm going to admit it right off the bat. So when you guys are going into like the deep dive of the conspiracy theories / connection / what's coming up sort of things, like, you might lose me, I'm not gonna lie. So I was kind of looking at it from a lens of not trying to dissect it too much, like I did kind of with The Mandalorian. Like, I was just so trying to figure out, like, okay, what timeline is this in? Like, where is this? What is that? Like, so my perspective was a little bit different, and I think that was super refreshing. And I like that I could just watch it at face value. I wasn't trying to analyze every single second and look into every scene and be like, well, what does this mean? What does that mean? So it was just a very fun, like, I thought it was very fun and very unique and very interesting, but at the same time had some very, I would say, not, I want to say like darker tones to it, but at that same time, it was serious. It was fun, but serious at the same time. So that was what really caught me about it.
Excellent. Josh, what about you? A 9.2. And you are somewhat critical, especially of TV shows. It's a hard thing to impress you with a TV show. So you loved this one.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I think that what sold me on it is that this was basically a Marvel movie. I almost didn't even view this as a TV show. Because if you put all of the different episodes together, it really felt like an entire movie. And there was just so much to love with it. I mean, if you're just looking at the actors, every single person seemed 100% committed to their role. I mean, I don't know if any of our listeners enjoy TikTok, but I am obsessed with TikTok. There was a particular actor that had a TikTok, and everybody kept asking him all of these conspiracy theory questions. He was so committed to his role that he kept making jokes like, I don't want to lose my job. Leave me alone. Like, please stop asking me conspiracy theory questions. But like, everybody seemed to love filming it. I mean, you've got like Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany. I'm not very good at pronouncing their names, but yeah, they both treated this like it was more than a TV show. And so I don't know. I'm absolutely enthralled by everything that they did with this show. And it seemed so well planned out from start to finish. Like, they knew where they were going. They knew what they wanted to do. And I am one of those people that overanalyzed everything. I was one of the people that was sitting in a basement with red string shouting, Mephisto's in the wallpaper, looking really crazy. But I mean, it made it fun because it was like every week you got a little hint of what was coming. And even with all the conspiracy theories that I came up with, I was still shocked when Agatha was announced. And I only figured it out like maybe a half a week before they actually announced it. And it was because someone else gave that conspiracy theory. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm an idiot. But it was so perfectly done. I don't know. I loved so much about it.
Excellent. Well, I don't disagree. Well, I might disagree with just a couple of things, and we'll get to that. But I overall, really, I think it was a wonderful watch. It was really well produced. You know, great production values. I really liked almost all of the characters. I thought they all were excellent. And like you said, it was a very intriguing mystery. And what I think my favorite thing about it was just that it was different. You know, they went out on a limb with it. And I don't think that everything about that limb they went out on was successful 100% of the time. But I really appreciate that it wasn't just a action show, like a straightforward kind of, you know, the same Marvel movie that we've seen. How many Marvel movies have we seen at this point? 40, like some unreasonable amount. So I really appreciate that it was different. That was my favorite thing about it.
Yeah, the whole 40 movie things is honestly, like, with having two kids, it's just been so hard to watch them. So I felt like as I'm watching this, like, we had talked about, like we just got to sit down and actually get back through them and actually kind of get caught up so we can kind of learn who these characters are a little bit more. Because I think that was another thing that really added to it is I wanted to know more about their backstories and wanted to know more about their characters because I knew how important they were to the story. Like, when they get introduced these new characters, everyone just seems like they know them like their family or they know them like they're very important. And I'm like, who is that person? Like, I don't know who this is, but I feel left out of the loop and I don't like that feeling. So I want to know about it more. So that was, I really like that aspect of it. And especially like Catherine Hahn, like I only knew her from like very different comedy type roles. And so even though it seemed comedic in the very beginning, having her take a twist and having a more serious role, I really enjoyed, like, I just really love her as an actor. So it was really cool for me. It's kind of like when I saw Will Ferrell do Stranger Than Fiction. I was not expecting him to be able to pull off a pretty serious meaningful role, and not like this was like, I would say, groundbreaking in terms of like the most serious role anyone could ever do. But I think she pulled that off pretty well, where you usually see her in a very different context, and now you're like, oh, that's a different side of that actor I haven't seen before. So that was a huge plus to me too. But I just, I feel like I have to go back and watch all 40 of those movies now to really get the full effect.
It's 23. I looked it up. There's 23 movies in the MCU. I always exaggerate. Still, I'm glad that it wasn't, you know, basically episode 24 in the, not that all the Marvel movies have been different. They've, or the same. They've done some really interesting, unique stuff with those as well. I'm just glad it didn't tread familiar ground, you know? So neither of you gave it a perfect 10, and I'm wondering why that is. What were some of the things that maybe brought it down a notch for you? Starting with, we'll go down in ascending order. So Josh, we'll start with you. What costed that 0.8 out of 10?
So there were two major things for me. The first one is really, really just, what's the word that I'm looking for? Petty of me. None of my conspiracy villain theories were right. And I'm still really mad about it. Like, I really genuinely thought that Mephisto was going to be in it. I really thought that they were going to have Doctor Strange appear in the last episode. Because I don't know if you guys know this, but WandaVision is essentially the trailer for Doctor Strange 2. It's like the lead-in, so that there's a lot of character development, so that when they have Doctor Strange 2, you're kind of like, okay, I know these characters, I know what they've experienced, and like you're going into it feeling prepped.
That's so, classic MCU move
absolutely.
There. Yeah. Use a whole show as a preview for, yeah.
Yeah. Which I actually put as one of my pluses. Like, I thought that that was really clever of them, get you amped up for a movie that's coming out. But at the same time, I expected a lot of things to happen. And then when they didn't happen, I was frustrated. But at the same time, I guess that the other side of the coin would be that that's a good thing, I suppose. I don't know. I guess it's all in the eye of the beholder. If you like to be surprised, that's a good thing. If you don't like to be surprised, I was very petty and angry about it.
Can I? So I'm already going to get flack for my review, probably. I'm going to get more flack for this. Who is Mephisto?
So
don't ask me. I read about it, but I honestly don't know any background.
Yeah, the truth is, I am a comic reader. Like, I do read Marvel comics. I have not come across him in a comic, but when I heard his name dropped, I started doing a bunch of research. He is like the devil in the Marvel comic universe. He makes Thanos look kind of pathetic. He never directly interacts with the Avengers, but he'll like set up. He's like Taskmaster in DC. Or is Taskmaster DC? No, Taskmaster is still Marvel. Think of like a more powerful Taskmaster. Do you guys know who Taskmaster is?
I think Taskmaster was in the Spider-Man game that I played on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know Mephisto was in Diablo too. Definitely not related though.
Wow. Okay. So a new villain, a new mega villain.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then there's the evil guy that Doctor Strange beat last time, but I can't remember his name. It's like Umami. But not edamame.
Tasty.
I think you're still striking
mandu.
Out. Manga?
It's something
Moncala.
Like that.
It's Moncala,
yeah. I need to look that up now. That's going to drive me insane.
Okay, all right. So main critique is that you weren't one of the writers on the show. So you didn't get everything that you expected.
Wow, that's painfully accurate.
What about you, Patrick? What cost it the 1.8 off the top?
I would say that it seemed like there were a lot of things that needed to be explained that didn't really get explained even by the end. Like, I feel like there was a lot of jumps into understanding what was going on. To me, the most interesting part of the show was like the commercials that would randomly be put on, like with the shark and everything else. And like, I couldn't quite tell, is this like a weird memory of hers coming up? And I feel like maybe I missed it throughout the entire process. And maybe it's just her mind going a little bit off script at times. But it just feel like those are just like popped up out of nowhere. And I'm like, well, why weren't these like in there more? Because they're really, really cool. I mean, they're in there a good amount. But to me, that was like one of the things, like it just felt like some parts were a little bit disjointed, where I kind of had to have watched a lot of the movies to fully understand it and appreciate it. And that was one of my likes about it in the first place, is that I kind of didn't have to do it. It just felt like its own sort of story, and it felt like its own, like Josh was saying, its own movie, its own production. And I thought that I loved it. I thought the episodes were too short. To me, that's like a huge like thing I do not like, is like I feel like as just as I was getting amped up for something big to happen, it was a massive cliffhanger. And I know like it's hard because we get so accustomed to the instant gratification of binge watching seasons, right? You could just, they release the whole season at once and you sit through it. But to me, the half hour episode, which turned into like sometimes like 20 minutes, it felt like, with the 9 hour credits kind of at the end, where you had to wait for that throughout that entire thing to maybe get a little snippet at the end. That was just kind of like, I feel like a 45 minute episode would have been just like perfect. Yeah. Right. Cause then you can go a little bit further than 20, but it doesn't have to be a full hour. So, I mean, that's kind of a logistical kind of gripe that I had with it.
Dormammu.
Is that what it is?
Dormammu.
Wait, really?
It kind of sounds like umami. Yeah. Like,
I know, I wasn't far off.
Yeah, no, that is 100% a ramen brand.
Is it really?
No, I don't know, but it's got to be.
Great, now I'm hungry for ramen. Way to go. That sounds so good. And then I would say the last thing was, you know, like the Deus Ex Machina, where it just feels like they're just doing something to put it in there to solve a plot hole or speed things up or make something happen to go faster. And it just felt like some of that stuff was only in there to like plug a loophole, or like the kids growing up really, really fast. It seems like they needed to like wrap up the show. They couldn't just go throughout their entire lives. And maybe that's something from the comics I didn't know. Maybe she can have this, I guess we're still doing spoilers, this alternate reality that she created where she can move them faster. But at the same time, it's like, okay, she's just going to speed that stuff up to get to a more meaningful part of the show, which I didn't know if that, like, to me, it just seemed a little too much. Like, wait, what do you mean all of a sudden she can just make them go faster? And I understand she's kind of in control of this all, and it's kind of an apparition, if you will, and all in her head that she's controlling all of this stuff, which honestly, that part of the show is super sweet. Like, I mean, who wouldn't maybe want to try and make some bubble that you can control, like the Truman Show-ish? Maybe that's more of like Josh's forte of being the super villain, but it would be like a really cool aspect. But to me, it just felt like there's too many things that just felt like they were in there to be in there and like fill up a little bit of plot line / story-ish. But then again, I didn't know much about the background, so maybe it was actually more meaningful than I knew. But overall, like, I mean, it was super enjoyable. Like those gripes that I had are just, I guess, more logistical things and probably what was wrong with the show itself. But
did you guys watch it with your partners?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did both of you agree sort of with your takeaways from the show, or was there any sort of disagreement?
I would say we were probably right on par with each other. I would say we both didn't really watch too many of the movies. So we're just kind of in the same boat of like, hey, we're just watching this because one, it looks amazing. Two, we enjoy these style of shows and movies and everything else. And so it was like not as invested in it. Whereas sometimes a lot of the other ones, like The Mandalorian, like I kind of geeked out pretty hard with. And so I was like, probably like Josh at that point, getting the red string out, being like, okay, who's this person? Who's that person? Like, okay, when's that person showing up? When's that person showing up? And unfortunately for me in The Mandalorian, they did. And unfortunately for Josh in this one, it looks like they didn't. But it was one of those things that I feel like in this one, we were pretty on par with each other in terms of what we were expecting and what we thought of it. So I'd say pretty similar.
Yeah, we were not on the same page. For me, it was more like he was constantly saying, like, I'm so glad you have things that you enjoy. And I would be like, ooh, did you understand that commercial? That's so sad. And he's like, yeah, there was a paper towel. And I'm like, no, but like the brand and the memory and the first movie. And
I feel like that would have been like me, though. Like, I didn't know the deep, enriched meaning behind every single little bit of that product placement.
Yeah, there was a day where he was confused why I was so emotional about paper towels. The brand that they showed for the paper towels was Lagos, and it said for when you make a big mess. And Lagos is the name of the city where Wanda attempted to stop a bomb, and she threw the bomb and it killed like thousands of people. And she went into a deep depression, got super sad. And so they were like mocking her in that. And like, I don't know. I was sitting there like super heartbroken. And my husband's like, it's a paper towel. Like, calm down. It's like, no, you don't understand.
See, that is a reference that I didn't know. I didn't know that at all.
Like, I literally, like, those little, like, Easter eggy type things are, like, what I die for. Like, the fact that if I were to notice that like you did, I would have freaked out. Like, again, like, would have cried or anything else, or, like, would have been super jacked that I found that out. But it's something that was just straight over my head, would have never known.
Josh, did you understand the yogurt commercial? That was the one that creeped me out the most.
The shark?
It was like a claymation commercial with like a kid on an island, and he was like trying to open yogurt, but he couldn't open it. And so he like decayed into a skeleton. And then there was like some shark who was like, yogurt! Or something like that.
I had to turn to the fandom for that one because I didn't get it. Apparently, it's referencing that Agatha Harkins, blah, 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 can like absorb people's powers, and so she like sucks the life out of people.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's the I loved those commercials. Like, I thought they were such a cool aspect to the show, and I knew there was like so much more behind them. I just felt out of the loop. I was just sat there being like, oh, I really want to like these.
I'm gonna throw my critiques out there, and you guys can feel free to like completely just break them down if you feel like I'm off the rails here. But
Josh is sitting there sharpening his swords.
I did give it an 8.0. I think it's a really well produced show, and I really like the cast. I really did enjoy seeing the people on the screen. There wasn't anybody who I was like, oh, they just take it away from me. You know, my problems with the show were mostly pacing problems. I felt like the first, what was it, like 3 or 4 episodes, when they were really doing the like stepping through time, every episode was a different generation of sitcom, that whole thing. While it was a really brilliant idea and I really enjoyed it and I'm glad they did it, it also kind of felt like they were sort of like, hey, we have this cool, funny idea to like make every episode a different sitcom, so let's work this into the whole situation somehow, you know? So it kind of felt a little bit like a gimmick that they sort of like shoehorned into fitting into the show, which wasn't a bad thing, except that I think it slowed down the pacing of the show. I can't even remember where the third episode got to, but I remember thinking at the end of the third episode, that like cliffhanger that you got to, I remember thinking, this is where the first episode should have ended.
Is that the one like with the color? Is that when the color just started to be introduced, or right around there, I think?
I think so, yeah. But I just specifically remember at the end of the third episode, I was like, okay, I'm into this now because I know a little bit about what's going on. I kind of feel like the first two episodes, the producers and the director were just sort of like playing around with impersonating these comedy shows. And then in the third episode, they were kind of like, okay, we're actually going to give you some plot development now. So I felt that the first few episodes had some pacing issues, and then it kind of, using all that time for all of that comedy, made it so that the end of the show, I felt like it ended a little bit fast. And there were some characters like Monica Rambeau, who I really wanted to see more development for that character, because I was really enjoying that character. And then like her plot line just sort of ended 3 episodes before the end of the show, and we hardly even saw her. And
I'm actually glad that you brought that up, because I forgot that I put that down, that I didn't like that either. I have it written down and I forgot to mention it. She was a great character and they did rush her, and that frustrated me.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that they focused on good things, but it did feel like a little slow to start and then a little like abrupt to end. So the pacing was a little bit off for me, and that took me out of it a little bit. I think my other main complaint was that it felt like they pushed the mystery a little too far. Like, I think that they didn't give the audience credit enough for figuring things out. They kind of like tried to keep us in the dark a little bit longer than they did. And so by the time they revealed some of the main things, like, you know, she's not in control, like, you know, Wanda is just trapped in her own grief, I was like, yeah, I kind of figured that out like 2 episodes ago, you know, and then they revealed some other things. The villain reveal was really good. I really enjoyed the villain reveal. The Agatha the Witch was a little bit cartoony to me. Mm-hmm. For like, I didn't really feel like that fear of a villain once she made that shift into the villain role. I really liked like how they kind of built her character and then transitioned her into that. And then she was just like, you know, this very sort of stereotypical witch flying around, like shooting purple beams out of her hands. And so I think that was my, there were just little things like that, that I was just like, oh man, I'm not feeling quite as like hooked into this show the whole time. And I'm not feeling as emotionally invested because of where they placed their time. They placed a lot of time in that comedy, making fun of sitcoms thing. And then they rushed some of the other aspects.
For the Monica Rambeau thing, is she a larger part of the story than is what's leading on? Because it's like, that's what it kind of seemed like, is, oh, she's mutating her DNA from going into the little force field too often. And then all of a sudden she's got these powers and it's all of a sudden like, okay, it's done. It's like, okay, that can't be it. That just can't be it. There's no way.
Yeah. If she doesn't get her own movie, I am going to riot, because she's actually... She's supposed to be the original Captain Marvel. Her name is Photon, and she can control electromagnetic radiation. She can actually turn her body into pure electromagnetic radiation. And so she can like basically turn into light waves and then change everything around her. It's really, really cool. And I love that they hinted at that, because when she got her DNA changed, you could kind of see that, like, she could see the poles of the magnetic fields. She could see the stars in the sky through the atmosphere. And so they were hinting at that she can control electromagnetic radiation. But you're absolutely right. Like, I don't know. I feel like I want to get her name right. Tiana Paris. That's the actress that played her.
I think that's how you say it.
I really hope that I'm pronouncing her name right, because quite frankly, she did an incredible job.
She was great.
Yeah. And if she doesn't get her own movie, like where she's the starring role, I'm going to be mad, because I want to know more about this character from like a movie perspective.
Especially bringing in like the background with like her mother dying and all that sort of stuff. Like it feels like there was more to that story that needed to be talked about, because there's all of a sudden, like, again, this is probably my like innocence in terms of what's going on in the universe, the Marvel comic universe, that is, that really... there was a lot more to what happened. Like, all of a sudden just people are gone, and this is probably what happened in the movies that I missed, but all of a sudden she was like gone for a period of time and now her mother's dead, and so like, well, how did that happen? And so I feel like there's probably a lot that can be put into those movies and a lot that can go after that. And especially if she can like control electromagnetic radiation, like I was getting like sort of like Matrix types vibes when that happened, like, oh my gosh, she's reading the Matrix. Like, she's like, I guess, Neo in terms of the Matrix, where she can manipulate everything around her. How could you not want to be that person? How could you not want to have a person who has their own series or own movie around that? So I like you guys, I'm very excited for the possibility of that happening.
Well, it's Marvel, so I'm pretty sure every single person in that show is going to get their own series.
Good.
They'll probably do a series with the boys, right? Billy and Tommy, are those their names?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably get their own series.
Wiccan and like Speedster. I can't remember what the other one's name is.
Yeah. I guess I really don't know how this is like going to work, but like, they're real life characters. Like, this is not made up in her head, correct? Like, they at some point are real life humans. So like, how do they go from a memory / in her head / I don't know what that was, to be honest, to actual like individuals who are a part of the story? Was that explained, or was I missing something from prior movies? Like, to me, that was just like, wait a second, they're gone, but I know they exist. So where are they? When do they come into this?
So I have a conspiracy theory.
Yes.
One of many.
Get the red string out.
I think that Doctor Strange is going to have Wanda Maximoff as the villain. I think that she is going to be using incredibly dark magic to rip apart the universe and try and get her kids back, essentially. Hmm. And Doctor Strange is like, it's going to be one of those, oh, the bad guy isn't really a bad guy. So it's going to be more, can I reason with you? And like, end up helping her in the end. I don't know. I kind of envision something like that.
Did the writers contact you? Is this like maybe just feeling out what might actually happen? Are you actually a part of the team?
They should, and if they'd like to, my phone number is 503.
If they don't, then Doctor Strange 2 is going to get no higher than a 9.2 from Josh, because we've established that that's how he rates things. Okay, can I ask you guys an opinion question? So, I have a bit of a problem when superheroes get their powers from other superheroes. I don't know why this bothers me, but like, to me, I think a superhero should get their powers from some sort of force of nature or galactic event or something like that. You know what I mean? And so it bothered me a little bit that Monica Rambeau got her powers by walking through Wanda's powers. Like, just exposure to that gave her different powers. You know what I mean? I don't know why that bothers me so much. Does that even bother either of you? Am I weird?
Well, I've never even considered it, to be honest. Like, it's something that I've never thought about. But now I need to, like, categorize all of the heroes that I know that got their powers from natural events versus contact with other superheroes. What are some other superheroes that got their powers from other superheroes?
I don't even know. To me, it was like, it seemed like the little force field that Wanda had put out was like, I guess, radioactive. Like, it seemed like it was some natural force that was just emitting a ton of energy, and that ton of energy was almost like a radioactive source. So to me, it seemed like a Hulk type thing where she was like experiencing like high intense energy, electromagnetic energy, if you will, which maybe that's what turned her into that. But it just seemed like that huge radiating energy coming off from Wanda was the thing that was doing the changing, rather than her, maybe it wasn't her superpowers per se. Her superpowers were causing the release of that energy, and the energy was then changing her. I guess that's maybe a justification for it not actually being Wanda's powers. But I mean, it didn't bother me, probably just because like I didn't know if her powers came from anything else or even what her powers really were. Like, I don't know if Wanda got hers from like a nuclear bomb going off, or all of a sudden she just made them. So I just, again, not really understanding how they got their powers in the first place versus a lot of the classic superheroes that I know, is it like mutations or a spider bite or just having a bunch of money and then getting your superpowers. Sorry, Batman sort of thing. I can't help myself. But yeah, that one didn't really bother me too much.
Well, we know one thing for sure. Ian must hate Rogue. Because that's literally her power, is stealing other people's powers.
No. I always thought Rogue was really cool. I was a big X-Men fan when I was a kid. But I don't know. That's one thing that I like about X-Men, is that they're just born with their powers. Like, and that's something that I really like. It's just like they have a random mutation and they get their powers. It seems very natural. You know what I mean? It seems almost like an extension, a kind of a supernatural extension of evolution. I think my brain just kind of picks and chooses what things it likes when it comes to superhero origin stories, because there are some where, like, you know, they get it from science and I'm like, oh yeah, that totally makes sense and it's really cool. And then there's others where they get it from science and I'm like, well, that could just be anybody. And why hasn't it happened to more than one person? And then there's like some where they get it from, you know, the Infinity Stones or whatever. And I'm like, well, that makes sense. The Infinity Stones are this crazy force in the universe. And then other times where I'm like, well, they just touched a thing and now they have superpowers. Hasn't anybody else touched that thing? Like, so that's amazing. I think my brain just picks and chooses.
Well, that's okay. This is going to be like going into parent dad mode, but the same thing happened in an episode of Paw Patrol, and I'm sorry I have to bring this in, but there was this big asteroid that hit in the center of the place, and all of a sudden all the pups had these superpowers. But what about the rest of the town? They're literally touching the thing too, and they don't have superpowers. That bothered me. So I understand where you're coming from, Ian. Like, I'm sitting there dissecting an episode of Paw Patrol because of this. Like, I'm pretty sure what you're feeling is valid. Like, totally, if someone else touched that Infinity Stone and got it there in the first place, maybe they should have superpowers too, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or is it like a certain distance away you need to be? Like, maybe you just didn't come within like a foot, and that's like that critical distance to actually absorb the power.
I will point out that the creepy Russian scientists did say that like 20 other test subjects had died and been vaporized by the Mind Stone. before Wanda walked in, and then the Mind Stone was like, you're cool. I like you.
Honestly, I really appreciated that because it did kind of make it feel like, okay, yeah. There is something special about this person that gives them the ability to obtain these powers. You know what I mean? Like they're like chosen or something.
Did her parents have superpowers?
No, at least not in the show.
Yeah, I was going to say in the show for sure they didn't seem like it, but I didn't know if like it was one of those things where the stone revealed something that she didn't know about herself or to the viewers.
Patrick, did Moncala make an appearance in Paw Patrol? Or Mephisto?
No, but it was super umami. Oh, wait. Yeah, unagi.
What? Hey, I think that now that we're talking about Paw Patrol, I feel like maybe our conversation has come to a natural conclusion. Do either of you have anything else that you absolutely need to say in criticism of or in support of WandaVision?
Yes.
Okay. I was going to say I could probably.
The song Agatha All Along is responsible for at least 50% of that 9.2 that I gave it. That song is a bop that will live on forever.
I did enjoy the music. They had lots of like theme songs and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I really did enjoy the attention to detail that they gave that. That was another bright spot for the show for sure.
I wish they would have gone a little bit into like the more witch aspect of it. Like when they had those, like when Agatha went into the thing with all the witches and they're like showing her absorbing the powers from other people and they're trying to like destroy her. I don't even really know what was going on. Like that vibe was like pretty sweet. Like it was pretty spooky, pretty scary, pretty dark. Like she's literally like pulling the soul out of these people who like were her family members. Like why not more of that sort of thing? Like why not bring in a little bit of that aspect of, okay, what's actually going on here? And then all of a sudden like Wanda was in that space. And so I felt like that was a really cool aspect to those later episodes because that felt more like a real witch sort of thing. Whereas like, Ian, what you were saying, like all of a sudden they popped out of that place and she was like the cartoon witch, right? She was like one step away from being on a broom and flying around rather than just like being almost like a modern day witch. And sometimes to me, like the cartoonistic, the I don't want to say like cheesy because it wasn't like super cheesy or kitschy or that sort of thing, but sometimes like the comic book movies tend to just be like, okay, this is just a comic book movie. You can totally tell just by watching it. Whereas some aspects of the show, it didn't feel like that. It felt like it could be like, oh yeah, that could be someone I know. And that could be anyone. Like one of you guys could be the next superhero/supervillain. I think I know which one would be which. But like that aspect of it was really cool. But then on the other end of that, it just seemed like they kind of fell back on being that Marvel movie where they have people flying around and like the poses when they're flying, like to me that just like, it's not a cringe, like it wasn't super cringe, but when Wanda's like flying every once in a while, like, huh, they can't like find a like a more interesting like way to fly, but just like the same like Nia. And maybe it's like a homage back to like they did with the original costume and sometimes maybe the original flying from the original comics. I don't know if that's because I didn't actually read them, but it was one of those things that like they should really pay into those parts where it felt like a darker piece and a more realistic piece than sometimes the kind of more cartoonistic type actions, I guess.
I'm glad you brought that up, Patrick, because that was something else that I was just going to mention is that I know a lot of people really liked the last episode, but it wasn't my favorite episode of the series because I did feel like the special effects and the action kind of took a dip at the end because they were more grandiose and it kind of felt like the last episode, you could tell it was a TV show and not a movie. Whereas previous to that, I felt like you said earlier, Patrick, it felt like movie quality special effects. But then as soon as there were like people flying around and stuff, you could kind of tell that it was CGI and it wasn't the best CGI in the world. But more than that, I have watched a lot of the Marvel movies and I am a little bit sick of everyone being able to fly and everyone being able to shoot rays of light at each other. It seems like everybody has the ability to do those two things, and it doesn't really have much of an impact on me because what inevitably happens is two people end up flying in the air and standing like, you know, 100 feet apart and shooting rays of light at each other, and then the rays of light hit each other and they go pzzz, and then they kind of like grunt and like lean forward and the ray of light goes a little bit towards the other one and then the other one goes and grunts and leans forward and the ray of light goes back towards the other one
with a double vision.
Literally
too.
after seeing that dozens of times, it's literally as interesting as watching them arm wrestle, because it's exactly the same thing. They're just like,
and then
you know,
and then the ghosts of their dead parents and Cedric Diggory flies out of the center.
I was gonna say, I was getting a super Harry Potter Voldemort or Hugh should not be named vibe out of that one.
But we also saw it like three times in WandaVision. It happened in the scene with the witches. It happened in the scene with Vision. It happened in the scene with, kind of happened in the scene with Agatha and Wanda. So in the next show, I would like them to up their choreography a little bit. Like actually have them fight, you know, not just fly around and shoot rays at each other. Like,
well, the next one is a Guns and Frisbees, because it's Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh, heck yeah. There's going to be some action in that one.
Speaking of the Vision fight, where did the one, the Vision that was all white, where did that Vision go?
That's a great question.
Is he just out? Yeah. He literally, like, I was like, okay. So then I started getting my, like, the tinfoil hat on and thinking, okay, what could happen after this? Like, is he out there in the real world now? And is Wanda going to find him? And maybe that's how they meet. And then they meet again and they... like, he has all these memories, and then Wanda meets him, and then that's maybe when they have the kids. So then maybe it actually turns into a real life, I guess, relationship slash they get a house and that sort of thing. But yeah, I was like, he just like dips. He's like, and then you don't hear, they don't talk about it. They don't do anything else. It's just like, oh yeah, there's just this like absolute cyborg death machine flying around out in the world, and just no one knows what he's doing. Like, that should be the next season. Is like him just going about trying to acclimate to normal life after that.
So we lost Josh for a moment, which is why there was kind of an awkward pause in the recordings. So
no big loss.
Hey, everybody, we're back so that we can record the last 30 seconds of the show.
I was like, dang, like that must have been a really bad idea for that second season if Josh is just going to leave.
Like, I'm out. We're done. Yeah. Your conspiracy theories suck. Yeah.
Tin foil hat off, and I'm gonna put that one away for a while.
You lose privileges with the red string.
Oh, that's good stuff.
So I think to summarize, I think we all agree that WandaVision is a great show, and I'm really excited to see what more they do with Marvel Cinematic Universe shows and movies, and how they experiment with new ideas, because this was an experiment that I thought for the most part paid off and was really interesting to watch.
Agree.
Yeah, $3 million well spent, or like however much they spent.
I was going to say, it has to be a lot. There's some really cool special effects too. It's interesting to see where they are going with all that now and what the next little step is. So I'm excited.
Yeah. And it's Disney money. It's Marvel money. So they're fine. They can experiment with $3 million. No big deal. Well, that is it for this episode of YonderCast. Thank you all so much for listening. If you like the show, please subscribe. And if you have 30 seconds to spare, we would appreciate if you would rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. If you have any suggestions for what we can discuss on the show, just fill out the form linked in the show notes. You can also tell us in that form whether you liked the cold open that we tried at the beginning of this episode. Tell us whether you like a traditional open or a cold open. Cold or hot, what's your preference? And if you'd like to contact us, please send us an email at yondercast@gmail.com. We always love to hear from you. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.